Welcome to episode 199 of Sports Geek. On this week's episode, I chat with Kale Drabinski from Bucks Gaming to get insight into the first NBA 2K season.
Welcome to Sports Geek, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host, who is not a gamer but a big believer in esports, Sean Callinan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. Yes, my name is Sean Callinan, and you are listening to Sports Geek. And yes, confessions right at the top. I'm not a gamer. I was a gamer back in the day, but I don't think Donkey Kong counts in the esports space. If they're starting a Donkey Kong championship, I'm there. But today's episode, I'm looking into NBA 2K and the NBA 2K season that has kicked off just a couple of weeks ago. It's in the mid-season at the moment, in its first season of NBA 2K, NBA's first foray into esports, using its own game. And so in this episode, I catch up with Kale Drabinski from the Milwaukee Bucks and the Bucks gaming franchise to sort of get a bit of background on what it was like setting up the franchise, why the Bucks decided to be part of it, and what's been some of the insights into season one halfway through and what they've learnt so far. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Before I get into it, as always, I'm always happy to work with podcast listeners. You can reach out to me either by email, sean@sportsgeekhq.com, or via Twitter, @SeanKellinan on most social media platforms, or @SportsGeek. Or always you can just hit me up on the website. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/work. Happy to have a chat to see how we can help you. But first, here is my chat with Kale Drabinski from Bucks Gaming. Very happy to catch up with Kale Drabinski, Director of Business Operations and Co-Managing Director of Bucks Gaming. Welcome to the podcast, Kale.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So NBA 2K, Bucks Gaming is one of the original teams in NBA 2K. It's currently in its first season, only a couple of weeks in as we record this. It was a big move for the NBA to set up its own league using NBA 2K. I want to sort of go through the process from a team point of view. What was your role at the Bucks and when that news came about, and sort of take us into the discussions when the NBA said we're going to do an NBA 2K league. Which of the teams want to be a part of it?
Yeah, sure. So I was with the Bucks already for about a year, working on a few special projects. You know, the year before we got involved with the NBA 2K League, we were working hard on our NBA G League team.
Yep.
In Oshkosh. So I was heavily involved in working on that. I've also been heavily involved working on our new downtown arena that's opening in just a few months here.
Yep.
But then the opportunity with the NBA 2K League came around, and I've always been an apt gamer. You know, grew up playing NBA 2K, FIFA, Madden, the list goes on. And, we saw it as a great opportunity, a great challenge to take on, and had conversations with my boss, Peter Fagan, the president of the Bucks. And, it just kind of rolled from there, where I took responsibility and kind of conceptualize the Milwaukee Bucks esports business. From the beginning, I would say it was a easy sell to our ownership. All three of our owners are strong backers of esports.
Yep.
Wes Edens, one of our majority owners, owns a team in League of Legends called FlyQuest. And, they all gave us the strong support to be one of the first teams in the inaugural season. So from the beginning, it was an easy yes to the NBA that, the Bucks want to be involved.
And it was, we've spoken to some other people in esports, Adelaide Crows over here, that were one of the first teams in Australia to go into the League of Legends market and buy a team. And it's really that audience extension piece that allows the Bucks brand get into a different, completely different market and start talking to different fans. But I think the bit that was unique, because we saw a lot of teams, either buying League of Legends teams or different types of esports franchises. I think the NBA building one out around NBA 2K is a little bit easier crossover for most people in the professional sports world. Like, you understand basketball, you understand NBA 2K, you're not trying to learn a new game like League of Legends or all these other games. So did it make it a little bit more transferable, internally at the Bucks with people who aren't gamers?
Of course. I think that's, one of the competitive advantages the NBA 2K League has, right? If you understand basketball, yeah, you'll understand what we're trying to put on in the virtual arena, as we call it, right? And, NBA 2K already has tremendous global reach, right? The NBA 2K 17 game sold 9 million copies. 1.6 million players play the game daily, and they average 90 minutes per session. So there's tremendous engagement. The NBA, being the innovative league that they are, saw a tremendous opportunity to tap into this market. And it's a great way to really reach that younger demographic, who love video games. And, some of them learn about the NBA through the NBA 2K video game. So a tremendous opportunity.
And so now we're seeing, so the league gets set up, and, so I guess the first port of call, the NBA just didn't, it wasn't Adam Silver saying everyone's got to be involved. It was very much opt-in. From a team point of view, and so you've opted in, said yes, we're going to be there. So what were the next? Steps? Because you had no players, no names, no branding. Like, what were the next steps in that process? And it would have been, I guess, pretty fast in trying to get all that up and running.
Yeah, no, it's been a whirlwind, that's for sure. I mean, the past year, we've really just worked hard. Doing everything we can to really form the best 2K team possible. So what goes into that is building the brand. So the Bucks gaming brand, our logo, we worked really hard on that. In Milwaukee here, we've built out a whole practice facility for our players where they report to every day, and they put in, 6 to 8 hours of practice and scrimmaging in. We had to make sure our players were well settled, so they're in an incredible apartment building in downtown Milwaukee, overlooking our brand new arena. And then, we had to, like you said, we had to get ready for a draft. So myself and Colin Hayes, who works on esports with me, we hired an esports manager. His name is Andrew Buck. As funny as that is, we didn't hire him because of his last name. We hired him because he is a tremendous esports veteran who has some experience managing teams. And, the three of us spent a month interviewing NBA 2K prospects who competed in the combine.
Yep.
And, we locked ourselves in a war room to get ready for the draft. And, we drafted in early May our inaugural Bucks gaming team.
And was there, the bit that I'm interested in, and it was one of the pieces that I spoke to Nigel Smart at Adelaide Crows, is that there's so much that happens in the professional sports space in managing players around diet and physical wellness and those kind of things that they've brought to their esports team to say, a fit esport athlete will be a better athlete, and also how you judge and grade talent. There's definitely some transfer there. Were you able to potentially get some insight from the basketball coaches and the scouts and the way they go about it, or is that something that can come along and is going to evolve over time as you start figuring out what works?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think it's definitely a work in progress. I'll tell you, right when we announced Bucks Gaming, we got an email from John Horst, who's our general manager at the Bucks, saying he'd love to be involved in any way possible. So Leading up to the draft, you know, we met with John and his team to get an idea of how to put a draft board together, you know, what they look for in prospects. So that's an example of how we've leveraged, you know, some of the Bucks infrastructure to help, you know, get this team off the ground. In terms of, you know, health and nutrition, you know, our sports science doctors are definitely, you know, interested in supporting us. But like you said, it takes time. You know, a lot of these, you know, NBA 2K players are young. You know, nutrition is something that, you know, we try and stress here with the Bucks Gaming. But it's something that, you know, this being the inaugural season, it's not the most important thing. Yeah. But I do agree, you know, a healthier esport athlete will probably result in better success in the virtual arena. That's for sure.
And I think that as you're, you know, around professional organizations and as becomes more professional, as money becomes a driver, as athletes can, you know, get salaries and all of the athletes are being paid and it's actually seen actual raise in salaries across the board with the benefits of the esports athletes being transferred across to the G Sports and the G League athletes as well. So it's sort of a, you know, rising tides lift all boats. But, you know, if there's incentive for a player to keep playing, they'll start looking for those advantages. Those advantages have helped, you know, Roger Federer still play. They're helping LeBron do remarkable things in, you know, season 15. So I think it's a natural, because in esports is notorious for being really short time span of career, like, because it's fast twitch and you have a short window to win. Potentially bringing more professional wellness and health and those kind of things could extend their career. So I think the smart ones will start looking at that from a where Bucks Gaming fits in the whole Milwaukee Bucks organization. And like you said, there's this whole idea of we can set up another team and pull in the shared resources that the team has. How has that been working for you guys?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think looking at it from the NBA standpoint, first of all, you know, the NBA really considers this their fourth league, yep. Right? And they're treating it as such with the resources. The Bucks, you know, we see it just as important, right? Like we treat Bucks Gaming like we treat our G League team or a Bucks team, right? Like we want to give our players the right resources to succeed. And we want to make sure we have the best infrastructure for our guys to succeed on a daily basis. So, you know, it's funny when we first started talking about esports and explaining what this NBA 2K league would be to, you know, employees around the office, I would say half got it. And I would say half was like, what is this? Right?
Yeah.
But it's funny just to see how far esports has come within our organization and how interested, you know, everybody really is. And, you know, it only takes a few games for people to understand what we're building here and to really get into it. And, you know, as our players, as we start to reveal their personalities and kind of make them celebrities on their own footing, people are really buying into it. So every week that goes by in this league, every game that we play, there's more and more interest.
And you know, part of the reason is to talk to a new set of fans, but then the other part is potentially engage your current fans. How are you seeing the response from traditional Hoops Bucks fans that, you know, that have followed the Bucks for many years, taking in and understanding this new team and how they can engage with this new team? How have they responded to Bucks Gaming?
Yeah, I think it's every week that goes on, we're getting more and more crossover between our traditional Bucks fans,
yep.
and maybe fans of gaming who are just Bucks Gaming fans. So that was, you know, a main driver of why we decided to enter this league. And you know, our social engagement goes up every week, our Twitch views go up every week. You know, just our general outreach from brands go up every week. So I think it's been strong. you know, part of the reason why the Bucks also did this is, other than being just this natural brand extension of the Bucks, is, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to learn about some of these platforms that we see as being, you know, great drivers of revenue down the road, right? So we're learning so much about Twitch through this league. You know, we're learning about what we can do on Facebook gaming or YouTube gaming. And then finally, you know, there's a real opportunity here in the Midwest to be that team that unifies esports, because, you know, a lot of these great esports teams live in Los Angeles or New York. You know, we see with a brand new building, a brand new arena, a real opportunity to host great events here in the Midwest and America, and kind of being that, you know, unifying force of esports here in the Midwest. So there's so many reasons why we entered this league and where we see potential.
Yeah, there's a few things there. I mean, what I do like about what the NBA 2K League overall is looking at and really being open to, which is, you know, one of the things that, you know, Adam Silver's been known for, is diving into the different broadcast options that is native to gaming but foreign to traditional sports. So like you mentioned there, you know, broadcasts on Twitch or Facebook gaming or YouTube gaming, and looking at it and saying, well, this is how gaming is broadcast. We will lean into that, use that, but potentially look at how that might come back. It might come back to traditional hoops and traditional broadcasts, because esports is consumed far differently than traditional sports. You know, traditional sports is TV first, you know, stadium second is where our second audience is, and then digital is that third piece where people are getting their fill. Whereas the bit that excites me about esports is that it's digital first, and that's where they're getting their first taste of the content. But the exciting piece is that, you know, running your own events, that kind of piece. So take us through the broadcast piece and I guess some of the, I guess, feedback and what you've learned so far of all of those gaming streaming platforms like Twitch.
Yeah, I think when it comes to streaming and gaming platforms like Twitch, the one thing you look at is just the engagement, right? People are engaged on these platforms like no other, right? They're leaving comments. They're staying on longer than traditional platforms like TV. They're able to take it on the go on their phones and watch from anywhere because the Twitch applications are so great. So I think on that end, you know, the engagement is something that we're really learning from the NBA and the Bucks here. And, you know, we're learning more about who are these consumers that are, it is only the first 4 weeks. So yeah, we don't have, you know, great data on who these consumers are that are watching, but, you know, we know they're young. We know that it's relatively heavily male. But, you know, we see a lot, and the NBA sees so much they can learn from these Twitch broadcasts that they can hopefully one day integrate into an NBA broadcast as well.
Yeah, I mean, the bit that I love about the Twitch as a platform is that engagement piece, because, you know, currently we've got social and TV sort of disconnected. Like the NBA Twitter sphere is great. You're watching the game and you're tweeting, whereas Twitch, it's one in the same. You're doing it on the same platform. And so there's no second screen because they're mashed together. I think that's the piece that why that engagement is so high, because the people having the commentary watching the game at the same time is why people are sort of all in when they are watching esports and NBA 2K and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think we're also receiving a lot of positive feedback on the quality of the production, especially the on-air talent and the players. And we're learning, like every week you see improvements and you see changes. And I think one thing that's so effective about Twitch is, you know, you can really feel the raw emotion of our players shine through the broadcast, which I don't think you get as much on traditional TV.
Yeah. And the thing is that you're watching it part for the skills that have been shown on the screen, but part for the entertainment and the content from the players during the game.
So it's
absolutely
it's not one or the other. It's definitely both. Esports obviously has a lot of hype and a lot of people, you know, interested in it. Has that sparked? Has that made those conversations with potential with your current sponsors at the Bucks and potential sponsors, potentially new ones, come on board to say, you know, we're interested in this esports piece?
Oh yeah, no, I would say one of the great successes so far of the NBA 2K League have been the brands who are buying in. Just to name a few brands, you know, Bud Light is a sponsor of the league, State Farm. Who else? I'm just thinking off the top of my head here.
Are they coming at it for that younger, ever elusive, we can't get to this type of demographic via TV because they don't consume TV? Like, are they going for that demographic because they just say we can't reach this demographic in our other traditional means?
Yeah, you know, they're smart. They see this as an opportunity to reach the young demographic, and here's a brand new league, untapped. It's a chance to really write a narrative that hasn't been written before through the NBA 2K League. I mean, there are so many different storylines that they can tie onto and really, you know, reach that younger demographic that you can't reach through traditional sports nowadays.
Yeah, and from a Bucks gaming point of view, although the NBA is a big operation, so is NBA 2K. Normally, these type of operations and new sort of offshoots start small. What's the staffing for Bucks Gaming? How many people are effectively working on it compared to the shared resources? So, how many people are helping run it? You know, you've talked about dedicated people managing the team and the athletes. But on the periphery, who have you got dedicated that are on Bucks Gaming as opposed to leveraging, you know, your digital teams and those kind of things?
Yeah, I'd say one of the advantages of starting a brand new venture like Bucks Gaming is the fact that we get a pull from the resources of an NBA team. So, you know, to put a number to how many people work on this a day is kind of tough because we have, you know, our digital team touching this, our sponsorship team, our graphic design team who's works with us daily. So full time, I would say we have five people working on this.
Yep.
But when it comes to kind of like pulling resources from the box, we have, you know, 10 to 15 working on this diligently every day.
And that just becomes a competing, like it becomes that balance of competing resources because, you know, your digital team has multiple teams to service, your sponsorship team is selling, you know, opportunities across multiple teams. And so that becomes challenge internally when you've got these multiple teams to support, which a lot of professional teams are now doing. And that's the, you know, when we're talking to people who work in the digital space or that's where they're seeing their resources, stretched.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I would say the one benefit we have right now is, unfortunately for the Bucks, I'll say, because we're not in the championship, we're in the off season right now. So there's a little bit more time for others to put their time into helping us with Bucks Gaming. And I'll say, like, as every week goes on, more people want to find ways to get involved because they see this as a great opportunity and a great venture.
Yes, but it also just perpetuates the problem that there is no off season in sports because you're always working on something. If you've got multiple teams and you've got to do a whole bunch of strategy work in the off season because there's not the game to game. So it does, when you talk to your friends outside of sports and they go, oh, it's off season. You're just putting your feet up. They're like, no, we're now working on another team or working on next year's plan. So there is no rest for the wicked.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, from a Bucks perspective, it feels like just yesterday we were eliminated from the playoffs, and now, you know, right around the corner is the draft, then free agency, and then we're going to have summer league. So you're right. There is no off season in sports anymore.
You did talk about the basketball there and the playoffs. Of any of the basketballers, are they gamers? Is Giannis a gamer or? Do you find it? Have you found any interest?
Yeah, no, it's funny. We have a young team here at the Bucks, and they're all avid NBA 2K players. And when we were drafting our team, we actually had a few come by the war room and ask us questions like, why'd you choose this guy? Or who does this game remind you of? And, you know, when these guys come to market, can I play them? So there is tremendous interest from our NBA players, and we're all, you know, trying to figure out ways with the NBA to see how we can, you know, cross over and market the NBA 2K League with the NBA. In year one, there are some, you know, restrictions on what we can do.
Yep.
But I see that changing down the road for sure.
And definitely, as you've got more players coming into the league that are gamers, like you said before. I think Mary Meeker's report said it last year. A lot of soccer players use FIFA to sort of scout teams. We've seen LeBron playing NBA 2K when he gets new teammates to figure out how they play together. Like, you're going to have gamers that are athletes that are players that are gamers, and so it's going to naturally lead to they want to play. They're competitive beasts. They want to play your esports athletes. They might get humbled. But they're gonna want to test themselves, I'm sure.
No, you're right. I mean, I think you're right in saying that they will be humbled, but they will definitely want to try and play one of our top players. And being that they are professional athletes, they'll probably go into it thinking that they'll beat them. But yeah, these guys are just so talented and so good. They will be quickly humbled, as you said.
Well, maybe it'll be, I think it was the New Zealand All Blacks, the rugby team, they streamed their players on Twitch playing Fortnite. So maybe it's a crossover episode that you might get them playing a different game altogether and maybe level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, hey, that's a great idea. I think we'll have something. We'll have to write that down for when our guys get, when our NBA players get back into market, see what we can do.
Yeah, definitely. So we're recording this, coming up to mid-season, was there any goals for the Bucks in season one?
I think we have a few goals, right? We definitely wanted to be competitive on the court. So far, our season has gotten off to an okay start. I think we've played a few tough teams, but every week our guys are getting better. So we strive to make the playoffs and compete for a championship. I'd say that's obviously our first goal. I think we want to, you know, introduce Milwaukee in the Midwest to the NBA 2K League, and that includes brands and hopefully telling the story of the NBA 2K League through partners and brands.
Yep.
And then finally, it's how do we, you know, how do we get, make these guys celebrities on their own, right? So our point guard, his name is Game 6 Drake. How do we get people to better understand his background, his skill set, and make him a celebrity on his own? Because we really see that as a selling factor of this league is how do we make these personalities shine and get people to want to associate themselves with our players and hopefully brands as well. So I would say those are our main goals for year one.
And the athletes, the players themselves, they've been really amenable to that, to sort of say, let us, you know, what do you want us to post? What can we do? Like they've been willing and learning of the experience as well to find out what all the, I guess, marketing opportunities and the growth opportunities of being within an NBA franchise presents.
Yeah, absolutely. Our guys have been great. You know, they want to work with brands. They want to put themselves out there as much as possible because at the end of the day, this is what they want to do with their lives. You know, they don't want this to be a one year thing. You know, they want to be NBA 2K players for years to come, and they want to set up the infrastructure for others to hopefully dream that one day, you know, this is a possibility and you know, this is a real career option. So it's great. Like, the guys are not only looking out for themselves, but they understand that they have a real opportunity to build a league and really hopefully, you know, those young kids out there who just love NBA 2K realize that, hey, this could be a real opportunity for me if I put the work in and become a pro.
And so at the moment, the way the league's running, the games are all being played out of New York, or are you guys playing in Milwaukee? Like, how's the setup of the actual games been happening?
Yeah, so our guys will practice. They live and practice here. Yep. During the week, and every weekend they travel out to New York, where, you know, the NBA and Twitch and some other partners have built a beautiful facility in Long Island City, overlooking the Manhattan skyline. It's beautiful. So they travel every week to that facility where they compete in the game. So it's a lot of travel. The guys have been great so far and taking care of their responsibilities, but it's a great opportunity then for them to, you know, travel and compete on the highest stage.
And then the longer term view for you, like you're saying, you've got a new facility opening up, is potential for, and I think it is going to be the light bulb moment for a lot of people that, like, don't quite get it, because they think, oh, I'm watching someone play a game. Why would I do that? But the in-arena, the in-arena live experience of an esports tournament, you know, is just as amazing and loud, if not louder, than some NBA games. That's definitely on your horizon to say, once you've got the facility, how could you host an esports event of some sort to have your, you know, have Bucks fans reach out, touch, see what the excitement's about?
Yeah, we want to bring live esports entertainment to our brand new arena. You know, the League of Legends finals, for example, sold out Madison Square Garden and Staples Center for multiple nights. And we want that same excitement here in Milwaukee. And hopefully one day the NBA 2K League can be big enough where we're hosting games and finals in our brand new arena.
Well, I look forward to seeing that happen, and especially when the new arena opens. So best of luck for the rest of season one. Want to get to the Sports Geek closing five. Do you remember the first sports event you ever attended?
Yeah, it was, I want to say, 1995. It was the Portland Trail Blazers versus the Los Angeles Lakers at the Great Western Forum.
At the Forum? Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been just before they moved into Staples.
I think it was a year or two before they moved into Staples, that's correct. Yeah.
Well, working your time in sports, you would have had a few different interesting food items to eat at a sports event. Have you got a favorite food item that you've consumed at a sporting event, or a go-to food?
I grew up in Los Angeles, so it's hard for me to choose anything but a Dodgers hot dog at Dodger Stadium.
But you're in Milwaukee, aren't you meant to describe some sort of bratwurst?
I know.
But I've had a Dodger.
You're right.
I've had a Dodger dog, so I understand it. But I'm sure there'll be some bratwurst salesmen that'll tell you off next time they see you.
Yeah.
What's the first app you open in the morning?
Twitter. I'm a big Twitter fan.
Yeah. Who should the podcast listeners follow that you follow, and why? Whether it be someone on Twitter or someone that you read a lot, or who would you suggest that they look up?
I really like following, his name is Sebastian Park. He's a great insight into the esports industry, and he works for the Houston Rockets now. And someone I haven't learned a lot from.
Okay, very cool. Sebastian Park. Mm-hmm. Seb Park on Twitter, yeah?
You got it. Great guy to have on your podcast one day.
Well, we'll have to catch up. I'll be close to Houston in July. I think I know the answer to this because I know the esports community, but what social media platform is your MVP? And so I'd let you answer it as you, but then also maybe put your Bucks Gaming hat on and say, what's the MVP platform for Bucks Gaming?
Yeah, so it is Twitter still. I mean, the NBA 2K community really lives on Twitter. It's how our guys really, you know, reach out to fans and communicate with fans. And yeah, I would say Twitter, again, it's the strongest platform for the NBA 2K League.
It's very much, you know,
in the community.
I definitely think Twitter, I mean, NBA Twitter is its unique beast, and we've seen that over the last couple of months and, you know, throughout the NBA playoffs. But I do think the esports community has more of that community backwards and forwards conversation that I remember Twitter having in 2009, 2010, 2011. I still think it has that tight, close-knit community, which is why, yeah, I've had a lot of esports people say, yeah, we love Twitter. It's definitely a place. So it's going to be interesting to see how, I guess, how Twitter evolves and how it pivots further into gaming. You know, whether it looks more at the broadcast piece and as they sort of pivot into a bit more of a media company to see where it fits.
Yeah, it should be definitely interesting to see where it comes. And I want to say thank you so much for your interest in the league. I think we're in the early stages here. But it's going to be really interesting to see where we end in the end of August as, you know, more storylines come out and hopefully more fans tune in because we have a special product going. And I think, you know, the NBA 2K League is here to stay for a long time.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in New York and catch up with Francis McCarthy, who's at the NBA 2K League in New York. I'm going to catch up with him in late July, early August. So sort of look forward to seeing when it gets to the pointy end. Hopefully we cross paths. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to look you up?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I got very lucky, and it's just at Kale, C-A-Y-L-E.
You got your first name. There's very few people that have got that, but I guess it's not that... Not that many Kales in the world, so congratulations.
No, you can find me there. Feel free to reach out with any questions about the league, about BoxGG, and happy to have the conversation.
All right. Thank you very much, Kale. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Please share your fave episodes of Sports Geek on LinkedIn. Be sure to tag Sean Callanan.
Thanks again to Kale Drabinski. You can send him a tweet, as he said there. He has secured his name. So tweet him at Kale, C-A-Y-L-E. And send him a tweet, tell him you're listening and ask him any questions you've got about the NBA 2K season. Special announcement for the people, for you especially, who are my listeners, and especially for the ones who are in the Sports Biz Slack community. If I've done all the work that I've meant to have done this week, you should have an email in your inbox. If you don't, I haven't got to it, but I'm assured that I have. Because we're making a change. The Sports Biz Slack community is being transformed. It's getting a rebrand, a relaunch, and it's going to be known as Sports Geek Nation from now on. Primarily, just moving away from the word Slack. I wasn't able to use the word Slack in advertising and driving people in there. So Sports Geek Nation is going to be the new community behind Sports Geek. So if you work in sports and you want to connect with people in sports, that's what Sports Geek Nation is for. The Sports Biz Slack will now be known as the Sports Geek Nation community. The Slack community there will be converted into that. I'm also going to be doing some premium content for that community. So I'm going to do monthly Q&A videos, taking questions. I'll take them from the podcast audience and also the Slack and Facebook communities to be able to discuss latest topics and latest trends. So if you want to ask me questions, you'll be able to do so in that community. And also there'll be a monthly email for Sports Geek Nation insiders on what you missed in the community, potential jobs. There's a lot of jobs being posted in the community. Over 1,500 people that are in the Slack. And I didn't realize when I started doing the stats that the Slack started just over 2 years ago. So 2.5 years ago the Slack was started, and now we've recently passed 1,500 people. and nearly 30,000 messages that have been posted in the Slack. And so a few people have been asking me, what do I do with the Slack? And so this is what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to make it a Sports Geek Nation, a paid community. And so for all the details on what Sports Geek Nation is, and if you are a current member, you'll be available to sign up for the Foundation membership, which will be available before we officially launch. You've got to sign up for your Foundation membership before July 15. The pricing will be pretty straightforward. There'll be two types of pricing. There will be the industry. So you work in sport. You either work for a team, a league, a stadium, or an organising body. That will have the price of $100 per year to be part of the community and all the benefits that entail. And or you're a vendor, much like myself. You work and pitch your services to the industry. So you might be an agency, run a tech company, be a consultant in the space, and that price will be $300. And for the people that are already in, you'll have 6 months to figure out whether you want to stay in the community. I'm not going to be kicking everybody out on July 15. But when I do launch on July 15, that will be the pricing, $100 a year or $300 a year. But as my early supporters, as Foundation members, you can sign up for that price as a lifetime fee. Pay once and I will never bother you again. So if you're interested in that, I'd love your feedback. I'd love your feedback on the whole concept. But you can simply go to sportsgeeknation.com/foundation. So you have to be already in the Slack already. If you haven't signed up, you could do it today by going to sportsgeekhq.com/slack. But yeah, if you want to be a Foundation member, if you've enjoyed and got value from the Slack community over the past 2 years, and you want to continue being a part of it, that's how we're going to be doing it from now on. So you've got the option before July 15 to sign up and become a Foundation member. I'm very appreciative of all the feedback we've got from the community so far, and I'm really looking forward to helping it grow both in different verticals. There's lots of people talking in the digital space, technology, data, sponsorship, but then also keeping that global feel and having people connected all around the world. So yeah, please check that out, sportsgeeknation.com/foundation. And as always, I'd love your feedback, both on the podcast itself, my chat with Kale on this episode, or any of the previous 198 episodes. So you can get to this episode by going to sportsgeekhq.com/199. All the links and links to Sports Geek Nation will be in those show notes if you do forget. But as always, you can get in touch with me at Sean Callanan on all platforms or via email, sean@sportsgeekhq.com. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Check out the Sports Geek backlog catalog at sportsgeekhq.com/SGP. Connect with Sean on LinkedIn. Thanks if you have already.
Go to sportsgeekhq.com for more sports digital marketing resources.
Want to chat with Sean? Book a time for a call. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call.